It is 10 a.m. on April 8th, 2025. Regular meeting of the Board of Directors for the Burlington Community Services Director. Director? District? Jeez. These people being on the opposite sides is going to mess me up all day. I don't know what that had to do with anything. Anyway, we will call the meeting to order. And we will start with
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Director Morrow, present. Director Swan,
present.
Director Armstrong,
yes.
Director Edwards,
I'm here.
Director Pikowski,
present.
We have a full house, which is nice because we haven't had that for a little while, seems like. Alrighty, we'll read the public comments out. Members of the public are.
But we have to approve the order of the agenda?
No,
not yet. It could be on your agenda.
Okay. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit dependent on any individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments.
And I'm going to speak a little bit loudly just because I know that with the number of people we have in here, I realize that recordings, the voice gets sucked up. It seems to people absorb the sound. So I'm not yelling at anybody, promise. Anyway, so anyone that has any comments on any item on the agenda or a public comment in general can do several things. They can submit their comments to board@gcsd.org by email. And when you send your comment in that way, we will watch for it and read it at the appropriate time. You can use the Zoom platform. You can raise your hand in the Zoom platform. We'll watch for that. You can also submit comments in the chat of the Zoom platform, and we will find that as well. And we'll introduce that to the appropriate time. So that's how you can make public comments on items on the agenda.
Okay. Now, can we get a motion to approve the order of agenda?
I move to approve the order of the agenda.
I second that motion.
Righty. Motion made by Director Armstrong, seconded by Director Edwards. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. Motion passes. I'm nothing. All right. On to staff reports with the fabulous four by the department.
We should ask if there's any public comments.
Oh, even though we did that. Oops, sorry, we did have people on. So, yes. Is there any public comment from anybody online?
I don't have anything.
Nothing.
Or in the room?
Yeah. Anybody here?
Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody.
Okay. Anybody else have any comment from in here?
Yep.
That's my first spam call of the day.
Yeah.
One of probably many. All right, now on to the fire department's report.
Morning, my name is Octavio Martinez, engineer with here at Burlington Fire. I'll be reading off our staff report for the month. So on March 9th at 6:45 p.m., GCSD engine 787 and Columbia County engine 631 responded to a report of a traffic collision. They found a single vehicle collision with a power pole and down power lines. Crews assessed the occupant and confirmed there are no injuries. On March 12th at 5:46 p.m., GCSD engine 787 and Suwannee County Fire Department engine 631 responded to a report of a single vehicle collision with a tree. They found the vehicle with major damage against the tree. Crews quickly and safely extricated the patient from the vehicle, and he was transported to the hospital. On March 14th at 7:45 a.m., GCSD engine 787 and PCFP engine 631 responded to a traffic collision on an icy roadway. Upon arrival, crews found both vehicles with significant damage. Two occupants were assessed for injuries at the scene. both of whom required medical attention and were transferred to a local hospital. For our apparatus and equipment, all vehicles except for 71 are still out of service and at the 71 still out of service at the GCSD shop. For training, in addition to our monthly EMT training and the times personnel receive the following specialized training. FAE Herrera and myself, we both volunteered at the Castle Training Center in Atwater for Cal Fire. And we had a variety of trainings throughout the month. And I want to welcome FAE Charles Sells to the GCSD edition. He's coming over from the Tuolumne County side, so he will be with us for now. Some fire department news. GCSD Station 78 recently completed its kitchen renovation. The upgrades include the installation of new stainless steel appliances, upgraded countertops, and additional storage to better meet the station's operational needs. The improved kitchen provides a more efficient and comfortable space for firefighters.
That looks really nice.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's a really nice kitchen.
Having used that kitchen a number of times in my life, that's a big improvement.
Yeah, really nice.
You have space now.
Some more fire department news. Grove Community Service District mechanics have been working hard to perform major repairs on engine 781. This extensive maintenance will help extend the engine's service life and improve efficiency. Once completed, engine 781 will be fully operational and ready to serve the community.
Do we have any estimate about how much longer that's going to be on the service?
From word that I've heard, it should be done within this month. I was actually going to
just
talk to the mechanic
if we were
today.
Waiting. I mean, what I was thinking was you could be waiting for some part that was having to come from somewhere. And that.
I know they had to do a lot of work to the engine, but last I talked to them, they said middle
okay.
April should be good. So.
I talked to them last week, and or actually yesterday, they were excited to show me the brakes. They finally got the brakes.
We're waiting just brakes. Worried about things that might have to be imported.
Yeah. What's happening is every time they turn around, something else is failing. They lost the computer.
Yes.
But all these parts were fairly readily available. That's not hanging us up. It's just a matter of it's going to stop breaking.
No, I mean, it's a lot of stuff.
But it's going to be
rebuild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was our mechanics that did that.
That's wild.
As well as GCSD engine 787 and CCFD engine 601 visited Tenaya Elementary to give students a hands-on look at firefighting rescue tools. Firefighters demonstrated the use of Rescue 42 stabilization tools, explaining how they help secure vehicles in accidents.
Outstanding. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Very nice. And then the total calls for GCSD, we had 40 calls, and Tuolumne County had 16.
And that's it. Any
questions?
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you,
and welcome.
Month of the vehicle accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of
the,
no, so.
Freeze, you know, you can't,
they
won't get out of the way.
They always
win. All right, we will move on to the survey.
Okay, so I'm representing Bob Asquith. So updates. I'm sorry.
Does he look like him?
So May 10th is scheduled. They're partnered with the safety committee to do wildfire training. So that's coming up at Lake Lodge. No charge, obviously open to all. G-Cert's also partnering with the Red Cross for the smoke detector installation. That's scheduled for June 7th. So they have done some canvassing. I believe they're going to continue to do some more. I actually got to participate in the one in Copperopolis last weekend. So kind of interesting. Some of the homes you walk into that you find individuals that are trained. And in one particular home, all four smoke detectors had no batteries in them. I'm looking at them going, you got kids in this house. But anyway, so it is valuable, but it proved it is very valuable. It potentially saved some lives there. The Rev Zero training session, that was March 25th for the firefighter rehab. Bob wanted to thank everyone because that went really well. Good learning experiences came out of that one. There's obviously a live drill that's going to be coming up here in April. And then lastly, G-Cert's putting together the basic training, the three-day training for CERT certification. They've already landed a location, First Light Resort, which is Firefall. It looks like it's going to be scheduled in October. I know they want to do it a little bit sooner, but with that said, Twain Hart's doing one coming up in April. So we've got spring training covered as well as fall. So that's actually worked out pretty well. With that, OES has provided some backpacks. You know, they've already secured the lodging. They've secured the instructors. So that's moving along very well. Any questions?
And got the grant.
Pardon me?
The grant from Sonora Area Foundation. That's what...
That's a plus.
Secured the instructors. So Bob put together a narrative application to the Sonora Area Foundation. And
yeah, the board approved it for us applying back in February.
Right.
Got it in hours before the deadline. And they called 2 weeks ago to let us know that they approved, the board approved the application. So it was awarded $12,000.
That's all you do. I really
Absolutely,
appreciate it. That's a long list of things.
And oh, yeah, he always has a long list, but we kind of tried to capture the the highlights.
That's good. It shows progress.
Progress.
Very good. All right. Then we will move on to the operation.
We don't really have an operator today.
I was just going to say.
We're doing.
The water. And Drew was going to give the report, but he's.
Okay, we'll move on to the next one.
Does anybody have any questions pertaining to it? And we can relay the message over.
No sewer bill, right? Was there?
Not that I knew of.
I didn't see any when I went through this on my computer.
No, it was both.
No.
Well, that's sanitary sewer spills zero.
Was the, the wastewater received is kind of high compared to last year. And is that I or is that actual people for last month?
Are you talking about the sewer treatment plant?
Yes.
So I know that there was a computer malfunction with the sewer treatment plant. Louis will have more information than I would, where it was constantly pulling water in. They have had it repaired. They got a hold of the company and got that fixed. But our water consumption for the sewer treatment plant was the highest it's been.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, as close to as high as it was back in 2020.
I think you'll see that turn around. It's the operation of the new headworks. It was using way more water than it needed to, and that goes right back into the system. So it's like it's like a big hose running full bore 24 hours a day. You know, so they're working on how to get that to cycle and not produce so much. So it's artificially inflated.
Okay, so it's received from. From the sewer plant. Again.
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll move on to admin.
Most of what admin's been working on is the big topic on the agenda today, which is the upcoming the rate study in general, the information from the rate study, and then the proposed rate model going forward. Rachel and Michelle and I and Pete worked really diligently this last month with pulling data. Oh, I'm sorry, and Megan. Megan pulled all of the data from Springbrook regarding consumption numbers over the last 10 years because we really wanted to play with after the direction from the board at the last meeting with weighting more on variable as compared to the fixed is what we do now. We're about 70-ish% fixed right now, 30% variable. But in order for us to, you know, we talked about the volatility of the variable rates and how that would look. So we pulled 10 years worth of consumption out of Springbrook, and Michelle put together a very detailed, like intense spreadsheet where we could plug things in and change the weight for each and then take the percentage and see how that would change the district's revenue in addition to changing what a customer's bill would look like. So we spent a lot of time doing that. That is what we're going to be discussing today, kind of where we found the sweet spot and taking the information to help smooth the rate impacts to the constituents. And then other than that, we are really close to getting our signage for the park. We plan on doing a grand opening / ribbon cutting, hopefully in May. We're waiting on just one sign. Our big sign is completed, though, and the big kiosk. And then just we got our movie in the park lineup put together and posters put together, and we're going to start ordering, taking inventory of what we had last year and just reordering some supplies to get ready for the new season. And the first movie is
May 31st.
And the movie is?
That's
a great question. Never mind. Amber made the poster. I can
tell you this. Go off the top
of your head.
That's okay. All right.
Okay.
While
she's looking that up.
Oh, yeah. You're done,
Jamie?
I'm done.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to be Hook with Robin Williams.
Okay. Yeah. Already been on to finance, Michelle.
Okay. I submitted our second invoice to Tuolumne County for the CDBG sub-block grant program for the downtown Groveland Big Oak Flat Water Distribution System Improvements Project. So we're expecting a check of $25,867. So we should be receiving that soon. The annual CalPERS CERP valuation is being completed by Foster and Foster Actuaries. And I'll include that in the next quarterly meeting. We'll have that returned. And then we have reached the end of our third quarter. So once I get everything balanced out, I'll be working on the next budget cycle. So fiscal year 2026. That's all I have to report. I'm moving by fast.
I don't know if this is a good time to ask. Did we ever get paid from the chamber?
Hold that thought.
Okay.
And
we're developing an agreement.
Thanks for everything you do, and like this spreadsheet sounds amazing. We're so glad to have you. Alrighty. And I'm glad to have people. The general manager.
That'll be our next agenda item. I'm just saying that was the I have nothing else to add to the discussion that is not already on the agenda. In other words, it took me the entire time to get prepared for that agenda item, and I didn't get a report produced.
No problem. Okay, and then we will move on to item B, proclamations. We have one recognition of Steve Rogers for his 4 years of service to the Groveland Community Services District. It seems like it should have been like 4 months ago. Where does the time go?
Yes, he is.
He's awesome. Oh, yeah.
Remember the state of the SCADA system when we hired him?
Oh, yeah.
It was flat on its hind parts.
You and I were saying, when are we going to hire him? Good and worried. He's traveling.
And he came to work here, and he has taken that ball and run with it. I mean, the SCADA system was flat on its back. He turned it around so it was operational and now has made it better. And the only way to stay ahead in the IT industry is to keep advancing. And he's doing that. He's really, really good. We're lucky to have him.
It's flawless. I want to knock on wood, you know. I mean, just because he's done so much, not only in the, you know, the technical end of keeping us in good shape, but also, you know, keeping our systems safe from viruses and malware, and he keeps everything up to date. I don't know how he does it.
Nobody's
not only does that, but he does electrical, he does plumbing, he does carpentry. Anything that comes up, he's good at it, and he does it. And he's also an extremely compassionate person. It doesn't seem like a day passes when I don't hear about him making somebody dinner, bringing something, delivering something, having someone over, you know, just constant.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Or hosting one say different words. Nice party. Fabulous Christmas
party. Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
All right, so yeah, we have like a proclamation that we'll imagine you'll present to him later on today. All right. So then we're on to the consent calendar. We need a motion to approve that.
I'll move to approve the consent calendar.
I will second that motion.
And it's beat you to it.
Yeah, I seconded it already. Oh, did you?
So the motion is to made by Director Armstrong, seconded by Director Kwiatkowski. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay.
I don't see anybody jumping up and down to make comments, but we didn't.
Oh, yeah.
We could public comment before we call from the vote.
Okay. Anybody up there?
I don't know.
Online? Nothing? Alrighty. So now we are on to items. Items number A under discussion and action. This is curly paper. A is an adoption of a resolution accepting the recommended water and sewer rate schedule for the period of July 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2030. Let's say 2030. Establishing a public hearing date for June 2025 and authorizing the general manager to prepare and mail the notice of public hearing.
All right, so give me just a second to share my screen. And I'm going to kick this discussion off. I'm going to look for then Michelle, Rachel, to fill in any gaps where I missed. Then I'm going to kick it over to Jeremy DeMargo with NBS and have him go through the model in more detail. And then they'll come back to me to finish it off. So
I'm
just
gonna...
88. I'm sorry.
88.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
By the way, I'm new up here. What was your name?
I'm Anthony.
Okay.
Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you. Nice to meet you guys.
Bye, Tom.
Bye.
I unfortunately need to open this presentation. Opened in Edge for some reason, which does not cast.
Those computers, I'll tell you.
Well, yeah. Okay, so you can start counting 30 seconds.
What was that one? Maybe Mission Impossible.
You accept it. Your mission is to get your computer
open. It's just a million clicks.
Yeah,
it's
started all over.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm just getting ready to share. It's man, they just absolutely change the menu all the time. Source. The screen. Office TV. Yes. It did it.
That was a few. Yes.
Okay, now I also need to share it, right? On the Zoom platform?
Sure.
Which means I gotta go to Zoom. I'm sorry, this is not my...
Yeah, I think that if you were just on the Zoom platform, you could have just shared your screen rather than taking over the casting of the TV.
Because you're gonna have two different
presentations. Yeah.
I don't have an idea what you're saying.
So you just cast to our screen rather than casting to the Zoom group. So the Zoom group's not seeing, or people on Zoom aren't seeing your presentation, but if you cast to Zoom, then everybody will see. You don't need to cast to the main television in here.
So get off of this.
But if I cast to Zoom, it's going to be this big. we're going to be dealing with the Zoom screen in the background.
Then that's fine, but the people on Zoom won't be able to follow.
So I'm going to share my screen.
On Zoom.
On Zoom.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then you're going to have to switch. Okay. Okay.
You have to
I think it's going
to work. Turn this on.
I think so.
We won't see it. Or, well, I guess not, actually.
This is above my bay.
I know.
Mine too.
I'll just wait until it happens and then we'll
I'm right now I'm looking for the share of my screen. I'm so used to Teams. We do everything in Teams. Share.
X bamboo.
Does it say share or save up in your top right?
No, it's different. Share. It's a different
screen.
That's
a totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking at Zoom screen.
I don't know what I'm gonna get here. Let's see. Okay, I need just some reaction from Jeremy. Do you see a screen with a sign?
No, it's
no,
yes,
yeah.
There it is.
Okay, all right, good.
Yep, all good, Pete.
I got to move this guy out of the way. This is just fumbly as can be.
Where's the contract? That's just perfect. If that's what's on his screen and he's showing it, then we can watch it this way or we can watch it through Zoom.
Yeah, either way. Yeah. Okay. So, sorry about that.
Fine.
I took a little bit of time. Now let's see if it's even in function. I'm going to go through this really, really fast. Okay. I'm not getting into the details of the rate model and all what we went through there. That will be Jeremy for the most part. We'll fill in the blanks, but. It's really important to understand how we approach this thing because we're not just coming at this from the perspective of, well, let's just increase rates because we can. You know, this takes years in the planning. This has taken an extreme amount of investigation and prioritization and cost estimating to be able to get where we are today. And believe me, you know, no one likes to go through the process of doing rate increases. It's painful for everyone, but it is a lot of work to get there, and it's important for the public to understand what we're doing. So the district was formed in 1953 specifically to provide water and sewer service, and also fire, park, and rec. But this was the main thing. The Groveland community didn't have a water sewer system to be able to get rid of their waste. They were putting it in the creek and they were trying to get water from groundwater wells. And so that's the primary reason for this district is to plan for the future, to invest money correctly and build and maintain infrastructure. We're charged with public health, and that is because of the nature of our business with water and wastewater. And also we support economic development. If we didn't have fire hydrants, if we didn't have water mains, if we didn't have adequate water supply, if we didn't have a sewer system, we couldn't have businesses in the community. So that is at the core of what we're formed to do. And so sorry, man. So the at the core of our water and sewer enterprise services is the fact that we are regulated by the state of California. We're under regulatory control. We don't just treat water the way that we want to treat it or deal with wastewater the way that we want to get rid of it. We have to meet very, very strict standards that are constantly getting more strict. And we have to, we have regional water quality control board permits. We have state water resources control board permits. We have permits from the Division of Dam Safety. A dam that's in water dam. And then we have just a whole host of state laws from the government code, public contract code, health and safety code, water code, all of those that come together that create a web. And we have to, everything that we do, every decision we make about infrastructure, our finances, our facilities, our operations, has to go through that filter. We don't have an option to look away and say, we don't have to worry about that. You know, it's just the way it is. We do have some authority when it comes to controlling cost. Okay. We can't just turn things off. We have to keep things going. And that takes employees. But We have the authority to adjust the number of employees, and we have the authority to adjust pay and benefits for the employees. As we all know, we've gone understaffed for many, many years, and it's caused the expenses to be much more unpredictable. And we've also, we recently kept the pay and benefits in line with the industry by doing the studies that we've done. We did that so that we don't have the revolving door, which we had before. Level of customer service can be adjusted. We cannot have the office open. We can bill once every 6 months, those kind of things. We could reduce expenses in that way. You're not going to reduce very much, but you're going to have a lot of feedback from customers as well. They don't have the customer service level. And system efficiency. Replacement versus maintenance. You'll see in the discussion here when we get into this, we are in a maintenance mode. We've been in a reaction mode. When things break, we go out there. Now we're transitioning into a maintenance mode where we as Mike lived in a world where if you don't change the oil, if you don't change the tires, if you don't address maintenance, you have things fall apart. Because we're not replacing stuff on a schedule when it hits its useful life date, we're having to maintain it longer. It takes more people, it takes more supplies and things to do that, because we're not gonna have the money to do a full replacement. We'll probably never have it, to have things on a 20, 30, 50 year replacement schedule. It's just not, they're not in the cards. That make sense?
Yeah.
All right. I've already gone over most of this. Very little discretion. Again, we can try to get things cheaper. We can bid out our materials and supplies and things like that to try to get cheaper costs. But you're talking little chunks of savings, not an overall, let's cut the water department or let's, it's not quite that easy. We've got a permit that we have to comply with. I had the county land use in there affecting costs because, we're providing services to people that are outside of our boundaries, and that is, for example, a subdivision that would be approved adjacent to our boundaries. The fire hydrants and the water system in the district are maintained and ready to go to the benefit of those properties that are right outside and adjacent. So if the county allowed development all around us, all of those folks would be at some point in time using our water system and benefiting from it without paying for it. So it affects our cost. Yeah, it is, but it's just a fight that we fight all the time. So it's really important to understand our costs. One thing that we have to explain all the time is why does it cost more in Groveland? I know you can't communicate, sorry. It's been we have more pumped miles of pipeline than most urban systems that might serve 10 times or 100 times more. Sorry, I can't. It's a medical device, you can't turn it off.
Hope at least pays attention to it.
All right. So does that make sense?
Yes.
This whole thing, it's hard to, that is, it's a really important thing to understand is that the economy of scale. If we had 10,000 people in Berlin, it doesn't mean you need three general managers.
Yeah, we have more pipe and pumps per 100 customers than TUD.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it isn't just urban
right
things. Quite a lot off.
In the region, absolutely. I mean, they're spread out too, but it's, they don't have the, like East Sonora is served by two lift stations.
Yeah, we have 22 lift stations. We have 16.
Yeah. So it's,
they have 15,000 conversions.
We have limited growth. If we were seeing the growth of an Elk Grove or something else, the growth in customers alone takes the edge off of the, you know, 5 to 10% increase that we see in expense every year. Our infrastructure's at its useful life. 50 years is a good number for asbestos cement water mains, which we have the majority are asbestos cement, some are steel, and they've reached their useful life, but most work still. Yeah, I mean, we're not having AC main failures all over the place. You know, fire hydrants are a big concern. If you think about how what a bummer it would be for the fire department to pull up, there's a fire hydrant right there, you go to open it and it just spins.
Yeah.
And then you go to the next one and you open it up and it works, but then it breaks, you know. And it takes a lot of time for them to keep moving down the line. So that's an extremely important thing. Also, when ISO does a rating, you know, they rate the community based on water supply, dispatch, and fire department.
Yep.
And water supply is a chunk of that evaluation. You know, it
response time.
And we're going to be rated again here soon. A big one to be able to explain to our customers is that we don't receive property taxes that are allocated to water and sewer to subsidize. All of the Bay Area cities, all of the Bay Area districts were pre-Prop 13 and receive property tax money. And a lot of it. I mean, I looked just at Alameda County Water District and they were able to subsidize their rates by $15 a month with just property taxes. $15 a month lower just by property taxes. So we don't have that. It's supported by customer rates only. And that's an interesting thing. People don't always like to hear it, you know, but that's a primary difference, the economy scale and the property taxes between us and the Bay Area communities. So costs are dramatically increasing. I don't need to get into detail on that. I think everybody has felt it throughout the every aspect of life. But a couple of things that are important here is, you know, we can't compromise on water quality. We can't decide to only operate the system a couple of days a week. You know, you're going to get water on Friday. You can take a shower on Saturday. You know, it's not an option. It has to be functioning and we have to constantly maintain it. And compromising maintenance is not an option either. We've seen inflation just in the past 3 to 5 years, 25% of any first year rate increases just because of inflation that we're seeing here. You know, just the cost of doing business. I do want to say that this is a lot of text, but I'm just going to cut right to the chase. We, by going through the pain of the last rate increases that occurred seven years ago for sewer and 2018
and water.
Yeah. All those were, you know, they're always painful, like I said, but it allowed us cash flow to be able to leverage money. If we don't have money in the bank, if we don't have money coming in, then if we do get a grant, great. But then Michelle tries to pay the bills, you know, and you've got a $500,000 contractor invoice and you don't have that money in the bank, you know, because we didn't have the cash flow prior to those rate increases. We've been still, you know, we're getting really tight right now, but that was probably the single most important thing, because to pay interest on every grant that we got, to pay interest on an interim loan would have been huge. You know, we also it raised our financial conditions so that when the banks looked at us for the loans we did get, they were able to give us the best rate that they could. And also we were able to self-fund projects as they came up. Not a huge number, but I mean, the pump breaking at 2G, you know, at their expense. expensive, but to have $100,000 cash available was extremely important, as we didn't before that. It looks like we're going to have to do that again. The recommendation is that we need to increase our cash flow. And again, looking at the numbers for sewer collection and treatment, we were able to secure $8.6 million just since the rate increase went into effect. I'm not saying it's the sole reason, but it gave us the flexibility to be able to get these things done. $8.6 million in grants and loans for sewer, $13.2 million in water, rural water supply, fire hydrants, permanent AWS relocation, Clearwell rehab, Butler booster, generator replacements. That's a huge chunk of money. So that's been our life over the last 3 years, just managing these projects. One of the things that's affecting our ability to get grants going forward is the state income survey that was done. You remember that, but the numbers didn't come out right. Luckily, most of this money was coming our way before that. They had made the determination, and we were still in that disadvantaged community rating with the state. We no longer are. All it does at this point is takes the state water board money off the table for our water system and for our sewer system. It would be all loan, not grant. And grants are starting to dry up a little bit, obviously. I mean, we're just seeing that at all different levels. So this is the last slide before Jeremy jumps in. Michelle's been an absolute godsend in this, just, you know, having the ability to produce what she's produced in such a timely manner and modify it constantly. I don't know, you know, before Jennifer got back, we were at this for what seemed like weeks on end, you know, multiple different versions of pulling our hair out, trying to keep everything aligned. But what we do in the process, we have to project out many years on the budget. We have to really understand our costs, understand what's going to reoccur, what's going to drop off, understand how investing in one thing is going to affect something else. So we've been spending a lot of time over the last few years getting prepared for this. We have increased the amount of data and our technology and everything else, the information that we're getting, so that helps us make decisions. We are looking at increasing, we budgeted to increase the level of maintenance to up to industry standard on things. For example, a fire hydrant needs to be operated at minimum once a year. There are hydrants in the system that have not been operated in many years because you want to get to it, but when you're running on short staff and you're constantly chasing things that are broken, you don't get a chance to plan that. Oh, hey, today I'm going to maintain 25 hydrants. You know, and it's extremely important. The hydrants are just one example, but we are with that's something that we developed into our budget projections, and that's because we're also not doing the full replacement in our CIP.
Is it okay to ask a question?
Yeah.
Does our fire department check hydrants and flow?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Because we used to do that as part of it. But then some water companies don't want them doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, if the system was maintained to standard, and we knew this, we could pull it up and know the status of each hydrant, hey, you know, we wouldn't be so hesitant. I think right. They would break a lot of fire hydrants, just, yeah. You know, and
they're different.
Blow water mains out of the ground because the, you know, first off, you got to make sure that you got water in the tank. Then you got to make sure that your control valves, your pressure control valves work.
Yeah.
And then you also, you know, then your fire hydrant's got to work. Your fire hydrant works. But if you shut it down, if that control valve isn't working, It'll just hammer it, and it'll break a water main, and then you, So.
Plus, that was one of the problems up here with the rim fires. A lot of people coming from down below don't know how these hydrants work.
Yeah.
They're a dry barrel.
Yeah. They're used to
the wet valves.
Valve being on the side. Yeah. So we know, address safety, regulatory compliance, and efficiency. We've got, for example, a lot of electrical maintenance stuff that needs to be done. It's an employee safety issue. It's a public safety issue. Long-term sustainability focus. Again, that's to the maximum that we can. We want to invest in replacing things with things that are going to give us a long service life. That's the least expensive way to operate in the long term. So we, recognizing that we were our expenses were exceeding our revenue in the water enterprise. We saw it coming, and recognizing that we didn't have enough information about our capital improvement needs, our replacement needs, we launched that. We launched the master plan, and then after the water and sewer master plan, we did additional prioritization to get to a capital improvement plan that we could plug in to do this financial evaluation, because that's a big chunk of our costs. It can be up to 50% of our expense in investing in infrastructure. And we needed this data to be able to, we needed the assistance of MBS, which is a professional consultant that does this type of stuff, the financial analysis and rate modeling and all that. And so we hired them to help us out and put together the model. We had a preliminary discussion about this a few weeks ago. And since that time, we dove in again for a couple of weeks and made some adjustments that we'll talk about with Jeremy. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen, Jeremy.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate the introduction as well as the invitation to join this morning. Let me share my screen here.
Are you still casting, Pete?
No, I'm not.
I'm sharing my screen. Are you able to see it?
Jeremy, just 1 minute.
Okay, no problem.
I can see your screen, Jeremy. This is Ronnie.
Got it? I should be way faster than I am.
All right, there.
We're ready for
you.
I wouldn't have been able to start
a discussion
yet.
All good? Oh, yeah.
Am I good to go on your end, Pete?
Yes, you are. We can hear you. See your screen.
All right, perfect. Again, thank you again for the invitation to join Pete and the board. So I'm going to provide a brief overview. This is really a follow-up to the presentation that we initially brought to the special board meeting on March 24th. So we have incorporated the feedback from the board in terms of the proposed rate adjustments, as well as worked very closely with Pete and Michelle in developing the proposed rates that you'll see before you today. So I will again provide the overview of the rate study and the rate study process before diving into the details on both the water and the sewer side for the utilities. So again, why prepare a rate study? Well, it is legally required as part of what is known as Prop 218 in the state of California, typically prepared every 5 years. And really, the biggest thing here in providing the rate report and the rate design exercise is demonstrating the fairness and the equity of customer rates. So it's what's known as a cost of service analysis. So you are allocating those revenue requirements to the customer classes. And so, in order to do that, the first step in what we really focused on at the last meeting in March 24th was that financial plan and really understanding both the sources and the uses of the funds. And so that differential determines what the needed adjustments are in terms of your rates. Once we have that nailed down, then we do that cost of service analysis to make sure all of the customer classes are paying their fair share based on the demand they place on the system. And then the third piece is the rate design analysis, where that is focusing on the rate structure itself and how we collect that revenue. So, both from the fixed cost component, so what doesn't change on a monthly basis, a fixed fee amount, and then the volumetric component, so the variable component of how much revenue is collected. So, I try not to use too many big words or fancy terms in my presentations, but the one term that I do like to define at the beginning is what's called a net revenue requirement. So, in developing the financial plan, what we are doing is understanding what that net revenue requirement is, which is really how much revenue needs to be recovered from those customer rates. So we take the O&M costs that are budgeted by the district. We add in any debt service obligations, so both existing and any planned new debt service requirements. We add in the capital cost, and then we subtract out any non-rate revenues coming to the districts, which could be licenses, fines, application fees. And that gets us to what is called a net revenue requirement for the utility. The other piece that we also consider, right, is that these costs, we also need to have adequate funding for appropriate reserves in the bank. So just like your home, you're not going to spend down to the X, zero, essentially, right? So you want sufficient reserve in the bank as well to deal with emergencies or unexpected situations. In developing the financial plan, we like to use the analogy of the buckets. And so the first bucket that needs to be filled up when thinking about the rate revenue is the O&M bucket. So the day-to-day expenses to keep things going at the district for both the water and the sewer utility. Once that bucket is filled up, money flows to the next bucket, which is the capital reserves bucket, which is used for your future significant investments, your infrastructure upgrades that are identified by Pete and his staff. And then, really, the goal is to get to being able to fill up your third bucket, which is your rate-funded capital or your other expenditures. And so that is allocating funds on an annual basis to either the water or the sewer enterprise for pay-as-you-go rate-funded capital projects on an annual basis. In terms of then, once we have the financial plan nailed down, we look at the cost of service analysis. So, this is how we are allocating costs to serve each type of customer. So, on the water side, we are allocating costs based on the capacity of the system, the commodity costs, so how much water is annually consumed, as well as your customer costs, which are your customer billing and customer service components. On the sewer side of things, similar but a little different. So you have your sewer costs, you have flow related costs. So that's the amount of your effluent that is generated. But you also have strength related costs. So basically, how much treatment is required for the constituents. And the two that we typically use are what's known as BOD and TSS to measure the strength of the effluent that needs to be treated. And then we also have our customer costs. So those are the ways. So we do the analysis in order to assign the relative proportions of what each customer class demands in terms of their cost of service. Once we have that cost of service design completed, or we go into what's known as rate design. And in California, the legal requirements are very strict in terms of the rates have to be proportional to that cost of service. In designing our rates, in building our rate models, we have to show that the rates demonstrate the cost basis in order to comply with California's Prop 218. This is primarily related to your water rates, but the basic principles apply to all of your rates. We strive, and California law requires that these rates be equitable and non-discriminating against any customer classes. From both the customer and the district side of things, we strive for the ease in both administration on the district side, as well as understanding for the customer side. And as Pete mentioned in his introduction, a real key is providing that revenue stability for the district in order to meet those O&M expenses as well as those capital project expenses. So at this point, I'm going to provide an overview on both the water and the sewer side. So this is the high-level overview of the study, but certainly we'll be able to answer questions in more detail after the presentation. So again, the four main points and purposes of the water rate study: ensuring that they're able to cover all of the operating and maintenance costs, that first bucket. Ensuring that there is sufficient funding then for the essential capital improvement projects identified by Pete and his staff. Maintaining those appropriate reserve funds to deal with emergencies. And then complying with all the legal requirements of Prop 218. So, summarizing the water utility financial plan. In working with Pete and his staff, we heard the feedback from the board in terms of flattening out and spreading out those annual rate increases over the 5-year period. On the water side of things, we have been able to adjust down the projected annual rate increases. So what we're showing in year one is the 35%, then 26%, 7, 5, and 5. And so that is accomplished through a combination of utilizing revenue bonds as well as working with the staff in terms of prioritizing those capital improvement projects. To hit the highlights of what was shown in the financial plan, working with Pete and Michelle, the rate model incorporates a new revenue bond of $7.7 million. And what that accomplishes is funding 20% of the district CIP that was identified over the 5-year rate implementation period. As I mentioned, per the board direction, year one and year two rate adjustments have been smoothed out. But these adjustments are absolutely critical to address the existing budget deficit and to be able to provide sufficient revenue to cover the future debt service requirements that are anticipated. And then the adjustments that you see in years 3 through 5 are necessary to keep pace with both inflation as well as to maintain those minimum reserve levels for the district's utility. This is just a graphical picture of that water financial plan. The black line is showing that the existing revenues are insufficient to cover the revenue requirements at the district. And so the blue line is showing those necessary adjustments in order to cover those expenses. The second chart here is looking at the cash balances compared to the target minimum reserves. So you could see at current, the first 3 years of the study, the district is actually still below, even with these rate adjustments, those minimum target balances. It is only in years 4 and 5 that the district begins to exceed the absolute minimum targets that are recommended and begins to start to build some reserves in order to tackle the other 80% of the CIP that will not be addressed during the course of the 5-year period here. This is the proposed rate schedule that would be included on the Prop 218 mailer that would be sent to all of the customers. We work closely with Michelle and Pete in order to determine the fixed versus variable split in terms of the fixed charges versus the variable charges. In this case, staff recommended a 55-45 split in terms of the fixed versus variable recovery. So what that means is actually on the base charges, those fixed charges, the increases are softened a bit in terms of what that fixed charge will be. And then the variable charges, that is what the customers can control more through their usage of the water. And so that is really where the differential will be shown in terms of the bills. We also performed a cost of service analysis on the fire meter service charges to make sure that the fire meter service charges are in alignment with the cost of service in terms of them paying their fair share for fixed fire meter service.
And we have 16 customers that have fire meter service.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
The current rate that you have here, or the rates in general for fixed charge, that is exclusive of the debt service charge.
Correct, yes. So the existing debt service charge is shown there below the monthly fire service charges. So that will still be in effect through 27-28 when that bond expires. And then the new debt service charge line is the anticipated payback period for the new debt service. So that will then come on in 27-28. And that is the customer component of that new loan that is anticipated being taken on by the district related to the water service.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you. I appreciate the clarifying question there. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. Highlight the variable charge just because we moved the... We move the percentage up on that.
Yeah, so both on the variable charges, the increase on that is really due to the shift in terms of recovering more revenue from the variable charges now than was previous for the district. And so you'll see that rate in the dollar per gallon increase on both the baseline usage and the peak demand usage. This will allow customers, though, that are interested in mitigating the impacts to their bill to conserve more water, right? Because those variable charges are directly related to how much water is used by a customer. So those rates are increasing, but that will be up to the customer essentially. That is something within their control in terms of how much water is being used on a monthly basis.
Pause and talk about any of the stuff before we go into
I'm
sewer.
Looking around to see if
anybody.
Okay.
Now we're going into sewer.
We'll talk just for a second. So is the we had talked in our last meeting about the potential movement of more of the percent of the revenue being recovered by the variable cost, by moving it into the what the customer uses and less in the fix. And that was the model that Michelle put together, making sure that doing that wasn't going to create a big uproar and we weren't going to be able to accomplish what we wanted to accomplish, because people will change their use patterns potentially. And we have to make sure that we still have enough money to do what we say we're going to do. But it does still accomplish the end result, and it does give customers the ability to be able to control their bill a little bit better. But people that use a lot of water and don't really care are going to, they're going to have a much, they're going to see more than a 35% increase total, overall, because that 35% is fixed plus variable at $3,300. Does that make sense?
It does. Are we prepared to defend the variable percentage allocation? I mean, we're going to probably have people contesting that. That's the biggest issue with 218 upstate.
Jeremy, can you?
Yeah. Yeah, so as part of the cost of service analysis, what we do is we allocate revenue requirements amongst the customer classes. And so Prop 218 dictates that you cannot collect more revenue from a customer class than the cost of service dictates. What Prop 218 doesn't necessarily dictate is how much of that revenue within each customer class is collected from the fixed charge versus the variable charge. And so the district has discretion. As Pete said, we're not collecting more or less revenue from a customer class, whether it's, say, a 65-35 split versus this 55-45. What is happening is just a shift in how that revenue is collected from the customer classes, right? Whether more of that is on that fixed meter charge or more of it is on the volumetric charge. It is still collecting the same amount of revenue from each of those customer classes themselves.
Bob, as far as a nexus, you know, there's not a mechanical study that needs to be done or was done to say, that's exactly what it needs to be. We ran scenarios from top to bottom on different percentage breakouts financially, just to see what was the sweet spot as far as our average customer. That almost, I don't remember, 90% of our customers, something they fall within the range that that split, that percentage split, is going to work in their favor. There's I don't remember how many, there was a percentage of customers that had they always went into the the higher rate, the second tier, and they're going to see a much higher increase in their consumption. Now, we can, there's no legal requirement for us to tie it, but I can guarantee we can tie it together. We can tie it as far as the
operating cost. The last time we did this, we were heavy into the, you know, Prop 218 stuff had been going after tiered rates and things like that. And there was a lot of angst about trying to come up with methodology, you know, with reasons, with explanations about why we were doing this stuff we were doing. And I'm not asking you to just, if we have to, we've gone through this in a way that we think is compliant with.
Yes.
I mean, there's been a lot of changes since then. There have been new laws, there's been some adjustments, there's been new court findings and things like that, which I'm not up on. So we're good on all this.
We're good. Yes.
Okay.
We're good. We went through that specific scenario. And I think with, I believe it was Michelle from MBS, we'll have a focus piece in our town hall meetings and in our discussions, our outreach to customers about that, you know, because that is a change. And it's, you know, if nothing else, Bob, just the compliance with the new laws that are moving toward, you know, higher levels of water conservation.
Right.
This is the number one water conservation tool for the district is to put more of the more expense on the water consumed.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine with it, but it just
it's a good point.
It was a really touchy topic last time around. It was.
Well, I think our model is still based off of like the 2015, which is the base rate is essentially, that's why it's set at the 3,300, because the state says a single family household is, and if every household stayed at the that consumption, we would not need a secondary water treatment facility. No. Those costs are built into the peak rate, which these are just built.
So we're still costs. Using that same reason.
Yeah.
It's kind of probably that.
So 72% about stick underneath the 3,300 gallons, and 28% do above the peak, so above baseline.
Okay. We'd like to think that, you know, with the with the staff that are built into this model, with the, you know, doing a really good job of projecting our expenses, that we'll be able to have money to be able to allocate to additional water conservation program areas. You know, one thing that is really prevalent is the fact that people that are not here all the time will have leaks, and they have their toilets will leak. Not leak out on the ground, but just go into the septic or the sewer and run at half a gallon a minute around the clock. That is controllable with $15 a year that they invest in a flapper every year. I mean, those kind of things. I mean, I realize this is one example, but that's probably our most prevalent problem with high water conservation or high water consumption is toilets failing.
I just wanted to confirm that we will have a calculator on the website once these are confirmed, and so that people would be able to go in and put in their usage and see if they were to lower their usage, how much it would lower their rate. And so and even on there we can put even a link that maybe the recommendations on how to lower some of that usage. So some of these ideas that you're saying, you know, checking for those $15 fixes that might be, saving people a lot of money down the road. And so then being able to compare that financially through that calculator can be really effective.
Kind of addresses, you know, one of the big things from customer service aspect that we get said all the time. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do, you know, and this model completely really does change us. So when we do roll this out to the public, we've listened, we've changed the way that we allocate, you know, this rate increase of the 55 to the fixed and the 45, you know, was essentially in your power, where you didn't have that before. There was very little control that the customer had over their water bill.
What was it before? What was it?
71% on the 29.
So in other words, you control that 29% of your bill by the amount of water you consume. And, you know, if you cut back by 20%, which is a lot, you're not changing your bill that much. But now if you do it, it's going to have a significant change. Anything else on water?
Why is it the fun part?
I'm just kidding.
Okay, so we'll move into sewer, and then we can always back up if you have additional thoughts.
Back up.
I was gonna say, Pete, that's not what you want on sewer, is a backup joke, right? So So,
about the sewer backup, or was that, no, Spence, right? About sewer backups on the report. That's, you know, that's another thing. It takes the constant effort, and that takes people who care about what they do. And we have, over the last, you know, 20 years,
used that significantly.
It's, yeah, we don't have them anymore. If they happen, it's because of a major meltdown of some sort. Usually a plumber going out to respond to a customer's sewer issue and cutting a big root wad out, that then they don't catch and it goes down, gets caught in our system. But that hasn't happened either in a while. All right, Jeremy, I'm done.
Same on the sewer rate side of things, right? So again, the purpose, making sure able to cover all the O&M expenses, the essential capital improvement projects, maintaining those reserve funds, and then complying with the legal requirements. So we took the board's feedback again and worked to smooth and soften those initial rate adjustments. So what you're looking at now is in the first year, 30%, then 15, 7, 5, 5 in terms of those needed revenue adjustments. And so to summarize how that is accomplished, based on the staff recommendations, a new revenue bond of 3.7 million, and that is able to help fund 50% of the district identified CIP over that 5-year rate implementation period. So again, incorporating the feedback from the board, those year one and two rate adjustments have been smoothed out, but are still necessary and critical to address the existing budget deficits on the O&M side, and then to cover those future debt service requirements. And then in terms of financial planning, the adjustments in years 3 through 5 are necessary to keep pace with inflation and to maintain those minimum reserve levels. So the graphical picture again, the black line is showing that those revenues under the existing rates are insufficient to meet the revenue requirements. So the blue line is the adjustment of the revenues under the increased rates that are able to cover those expenses. On the sewer side of things, the reserves are in a bit healthier shape, and so on the sewer side of things, they are not dropping below the minimum target reserve balance, but this plan is really arriving at just about the minimum level of reserve targets over the 5-year period in terms of the financial planning. The results of the financial plan and the cost of service, we have two options before you that staff would like direction from the board on. The first option is maintaining the existing structure where there is a monthly fixed service charge and then a monthly volume usage charge based on how much water is used by the customer. Option two is moving to 100% fixed charges, so no variable component on the bill. So this would just be a flat rate for each of the customer classes. You can see what is the same on both option one and two, similar to on the water side. There is that separate existing debt service charge that will be decreasing over the course of the study just based on the debt service requirements that are existing on the books. And then what will be added is that new debt service charge in order to cover the payback of the anticipated 3.7 million revenue bonds. And so I believe this is my last slide, before turning it back over to Pete, but this is the one item that staff would like feedback and direction on in terms of either maintaining the existing structure or considering moving to this 100% flat fee option on the sewer side. So with that, Pete, I will turn it back over to you. I appreciate the time on the presentation this morning.
Quick question. These are 30-year bonds, I assume.
Correct. That is what we assumed. It was a 30-year bond.
And that's a good question. We will certainly be applying for funding through USDA Rural Development, and any other funding that would be appropriate for the projects that we have.
that are our priorities. We can't anticipate whether we'll be successful, what the, how much lower the interest rate would be with USDA, and also how much of it would be grant versus loan, because they're limited on that. In addition to the revenue bond model, that's very predictable. That's very in our industry, it's standard. It's just like in a way it's like a bank loan, but it's a, you have bond counsel involved and others that issue the debt, and you pledge the revenue from the rates to cover the cost of it. And
right, 30 years. So onto the sewer rate options here. We have an idea of how many of our sewer users are part-timers.
I didn't break it up by part-timers. Let me see.
It's hard to tell.
You can usually make a guess from the water consumption.
Yeah, except there's a lot, we have cross-check with the short-term rental.
Loosely speaking, that's what I'm, do we have a, because that has the, I'm generally speaking, I'm in favor of a fixed rate for sewer. I think I've made that clear in the past for the last 10 years. But the part-timers are really going to get hammered, because they can't do anything to hold it down. It's going to be a giant increase for them. And so I'm just wondering how many people we're going to be affected that way.
No, I don't really have that.
I would assume most of the sewer places are probably not part-timers, because if you're going to have a sewer...
First, you don't have a high bill to start with.
But they would be charged the base rate. They would be charged a fixed rate on sewer that included an estimated amount of consumption at discharge in the sewer. They may not be here all year, but they're going to pay the same as somebody who occupies their house all year.
Right.
That's the trade-off. That's kind of the worst case scenario. Now, our income survey, Bob, the data showed that 48% of those that responded out of the 530 or so respondents were transient, were not living here full time. If that's any,
but that was a survey of everybody, not just sewer.
Yeah.
A survey of everyone. But it might be representative. The homes, this may not be the case, but I would see that the homes that have sewer are probably more expensive because they're closer to the lake. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. We haven't looked at it, but I know that some of the highest income folks are definitely on sewer and definitely close by the lake.
And it might be tricky because a lot of the people who don't live here full time may rent it out.
Yeah, that's
true.
All right, I don't have
that. Okay, no reason why you wouldn't. I didn't ask that question yet. It's just that my bias is to say 100% fixed charge. But man, that's going to be a huge increase.
So right now we're at 76, about 76% fixed, 24% variable for residential customers. Change that 100%. Commercial is a little bit different, it's a little bit more 50-50. There was no run rate. I didn't see it, the run reason of the variable versus fixed, but that's how it is right now. I also did reach out to the county with your question about putting the property taxes to. We don't have an answer as of yet. They can do it, but I just don't have timeline, procedure, anything with their requirements. Just to put that out there too.
Their escrow account, if they have an escrow.
They notice it because with these rates, a year's worth of this would be a big chunk.
So Let me finish my discussion and we can come back unless we have some burning questions right now. Because I'm just going to give you a quick quick idea of what's not included and what is included, just to make sure we have good clarity on if these rates go forward, what we can tell the public we are and are not doing, if that's okay. All right, so there's some things that we had to had to sacrifice for the purpose of cost control, budget control, to be able to not have huge rate impacts. Because if you can imagine, if we said, now if we know we need to do these projects, we need to incur these expenses, the rates would have been astronomical. So a couple of things, for example, the AC mains. You know, again, they're not failing dramatically, but this is not going to develop a sizable reserve toward their replacement. So we are pushing that down the road to deal with that at another date. Same with service lines from the main to the house, or the meter, and sewer laterals. Okay, so those are, they go from the main to where the customer is. We're not putting money into a reserve for replacement of that under this rate structure. Do up reserves towards undersized and aging pipes in downtown Groveland Big Oak Flat. We had a big project there to replace those pipes. Again, we've got a funding application in. There hasn't been any movement on it. It's not in this financial plan for the next 5 years to do anything with that or to or to put any money away toward that. Develop reserve to replacement of other things like pressure control valves, pressure regulating station control valves, and water pump stations. There's money in the budget to do maintenance. I'm not saying we're not going to fix them. You know, there's money in the budget to be able to replace it if it fails. But pressure regulating stations are anywhere between 30 to 50 years. You just go in and you bolt in a new one. You know, and meanwhile, each year you go out and test it and replace the rubber gaskets and rubber diaphragms and parts, and you make sure it's working. We're going to be able to make sure it's working. We're going to be able to replace the rubber parts, but we don't have money going into reserves to replace them. Okay, and again, not a fatal flaw, but it increases the amount of staff effort and maintenance cost to keep those things going. Because we are going to keep the system reliable. Develop reserves toward major building maintenance, such as roofing, HVAC, siding, painting, that kind of stuff. This revenue model doesn't address it. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to come in. Maybe we get a partial grant. Maybe we get a lower interest rate. Maybe the projects don't cost as much as we anticipated. The money will go to, you know, any savings is going to accumulate in a reserve that we'll see and we'll track. And Michelle's working out some really cool tools to be able to really look at the money flowing in from this and going to projects and going to the different expenses. But there's not a separate line item developing a reserve for those things that we all know need to be done. Leak detection studies and related repairs. We happen upon leaks instead of proactive look at it. Nothing in there for increasing capacities and larger pipes, redundant pipelines, those kind of things. Usually, if we had a growth model, if the community was growing, there would be connection fees, capacity fees coming in from those new units to go in to fund a portion of the cost of those kind of things. You know, and bigger main right here will allow us to be able to connect up 40 homes over there. We don't have that. We're going to build it into our connection fees, but the connection fees alone are not going to pay for that stuff. For example, in unit 12, that there could be a different pump system and a couple different size pipes out there to be able to increase the fire flow from 500 gallons a minute to 1500 gallons a minute out of a fire hydrant, which is significant. And eliminate the pumping plant that's there potentially, you know, the hydropneumatic system. But that takes a study, and it takes money that is not the absolute top priority. It's keeping the existing system up and running. So I'm not trying to give you bad news. I just want to make sure.
So no automatic meters.
The automatic meters are built into the CIP. I'm gonna get into that right now. Okay. I'm gonna tell you what we're not doing. I'm gonna tell you what we're doing.
Detection capability.
That does. You're right. What I was talking about is actually that you hire a third party. They come out and they find leaks in the street,
right?
In your service lines usually, and your connection points, and then mark them, and then you have either your maintenance crew or some go fix them.
We have somebody which the water is leaking.
One thing that we are going to be applying for funding is really important is to better understand our system, do a hydraulic model, because that'll help lead us to there may be much less expensive ways for us to address the improvements than traditional things. Right now, we've got multiple water treatment plants. Do we really need that? Is it just a matter of the 6-inch main needs to be a 10-inch main over here, and then we don't have to operate two treatment plants, and the pumps need to be bigger at the treatment plant? You know, that's one of our biggest expenses. If we said, oh, okay, we need more capacity, let's build a new water plant. Oh, and let's be really cost conscious and not filter that water. That's the most expensive thing that we do, is the filtration avoidance. It is not saving us cost. If we had a filter plant out there, and if we, and could just use chlorine, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have. But that was, couldn't have been known at that point. We just figured we were gonna just pump it into the system. We didn't know we were gonna need to have ultraviolet and, and chloramines and all those things that are just really expensive. Anyway, we're not going to have a lot of money to invest in studying those things under this rate proposal. But again, if we have some savings, we'll definitely invest it. So I'm going to stop talking about the things we can't do. And I'm going to talk about things that we did also, I'm not going to get into it, but we also, we pretty much know what we would have to do if we are not, if for some reason we do not go forward with the rate increases, there has to be adjustments. We will be out of money. So we would have to make some serious reductions that would change the level of service. So I'm not going to get into that because it's just speculation at this point. So some things that we are getting done is we are proposing to add a staff in the office. We need to do some expansion work as far as capacity here in the office. The plan currently is this room, doing our board meetings at the Resilience Center, and having this, the least expensive solution would be to convert this into offices. So we've got absolutely no space left. And so that's not a big chunk of this. I just want to, it's just for transparency. The rates do cover the operating costs, as Jeremy talked about, for the water and sewer enterprise, including inflation and increased maintenance. So we've predicted all those costs, and we're covering that with the rates. Improve and digitize office processes and increase record keeping efficiency. We just can't keep up with the level of records, and also digitizing them, and we've got the tools for the most part. It's the time to be able to get that done. It's important that we get there. It'll be much more efficient. So upgraded office technologies. One important thing is that this does include a line item specifically for replacement vehicles, replacement heavy equipment, and all that that we know will break over a period of time, and it's much more cost effective to replace it when they get out to a certain mileage or a certain number of years versus yeah, having additional mechanics and all that to take care of them, because we have a good.
Sorry.
No, sorry.
Is it taken into consideration how our lovely state wants us to electrify everything?
No.
Not practical.
It doesn't.
Seriously, until they figure out how they're going to get power out to basically
yeah.
charge it, there's
yeah, really.
That's just going to get.
Check out this electric vehicle, but it can't go anywhere.
We'll file an exemption because we can't get the power to do it, and then also if the new law passes that CSA's co-sponsoring, then all our trucks. We will declare them as available to respond to emergencies, and they'll be exempt. You don't have to worry about the heavy equipment. It doesn't fall under them.
There's going to be a lot of exemptions, I think, for right along. It's kind of an aspiration at this point.
So no, I didn't budget. We didn't budget for it. The budget and projections do add boots on the ground. We will be maintaining critical equipment, buildings, pumps, fire hydrants, control valves, and all of that to industry standard consistently. That is probably the biggest thing that we'll make sure that the public understands. increased water conservation capacities as required by state regulations, pump station generator replacement on schedule. By pump station, it's the it's pumps and pumps and motors, not the entire, like with the lift station, it's not the entire wet well and everything. It's just the mechanical equipment component of it. So those are the overall things that are being taken care of. A few things in the water and a few things in the sewer that are planned, the GIS and hydraulic model. That'll help us make decisions and understand our system and know what we need to do to expand in the future. Water treatment plant, building assessment, the structural assessment and repairs, because we've got the buildings are falling apart. Water meter automation project, that's huge from a water conservation customer service, and hopefully we'll recover some water that we're not selling right now because the meters may not be accurate. What we've tested seem to be accurate so far, but so that project itself is over $4 million, but it's something that absolutely needs to be done. SCADA system upgrades, fire hydrant and valve replacement, that's something we really want to push to make sure we're it's maintenance. It's maintenance of them and it's replacement as needed, because when we start to maintain them, we're going to realize which ones need to be replaced. So that's on the water side. So no major underground projects or anything else at this point. We are doing a lot with the grants that we've gotten so far. So in sewer, we've got money in that CIP budget for the lift station pump and motor replacements. And piping upgrades, electrical improvements at the treatment plant, electrical improvements at lift stations, and irrigation system upgrades here. Those were planned some years ago, but it was it just became, you know, much of the electrical was something, it was, the cost was going through the roof. Those allow us to do increased maintenance on it. Some more improvements on just automating the sludge drying system. It's not that much of a cost. Inflow and infiltration study and remediation. That's something that now that we have a meter on the influent of the treatment plant, and that's not what's shown in the data there yet. And we also have we're gathering accurate data, flow data in the system, and we've got a plan to how to test it to identify the areas that we're having trouble, because we've tried smoke testing, we've tried inspections, we've tried a lot of different ways to isolate where it's coming from, but that is investing in inflow and infiltration repairs is going to free up capacity in the treatment plant, and free up capacity in the system. It's a really good investment. So that'll be a very focused, we'll be able to report back on the successes of those. There were a number of wastewater treatment plant short-term improvements that were identified in the master plan, just primarily just maintenance, replacing pipes and structures and guardrails and those types of things, electrical upgrades. So that's, I know I'm just really going fast on all this stuff, but
I have a question.
These are important decisions.
When within the 5-year process will those items be added back into the equation that are coming in?
The things that aren't, that we're not putting money toward, you know, any savings that we see in either of the services is going to go into an infrastructure reserve and then go toward building reserve for those things. Until that time, you know, and then also, you know, if there are state bonds or anything that come up, you know, we'll certainly be applying for that type of money. But again, we're not gonna have cash to make the loan payments. If we have to take on a loan to do that stuff, we're not gonna have the money. We'd have to relook at the rates. So it's, we're just betting on,
did you change the total amount of what the increase is gonna be? Or did you just change the division of the percentage?
Oh, from the last time you saw it?
Yeah.
That's a good point. We moved, on the water side, we moved the loan out. And we've been, because we had it coming in the first year, basically, mm-hmm. and then that affected the reserve we had to have and the cash to make the loan payment. Mm-hmm. We moved that loan out, so it's closer to the time that the other loan ends, mm-hmm. you know, and it's paid off. We reduced the amount of capital projects that we were doing. Those are the primary changes. And then we, on the water side, we adjusted. We're not taking anything out of the budget that we know is going to fail. We know is going to be needed in that 5-year period. It's just, I felt I had to make it clear that adopting these rates, even at that lower amount of the capital projects that are listed, it's still a heavy increase. You know, but the things that we're putting off are developing reserves for the future that somebody's going to have to deal with. But I can tell you, we can't increase the rates enough right now. And we could, but I don't think we'd like the outcome.
Get crucified.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're increasing it. The water rates are increasing, what, 75%?
Oh, when total. You mean when you add them up across
the... Yeah, over the 5-year term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that 75%? What was it before? With everything included.
Let me see if I can pull up an old one. Give me 1 second.
Over.
I mean, we're not going to have the money.
I think it was over 100%.
I think it was about 120. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you not keep it at 120 and just spread them? I mean, instead of 5 and 5, make it, you know, 7, 5, and 5, make it 10, 10, and 10.
That's the discretion of the board. It really is. It's something that,
because we eventually, we know we need to include all the capital improvements. I just didn't want it to happen within the first 2 years because of the shock.
Right. The 60% that was,
yeah.
And then 25, I think, or something like that.
No, I was going to ask that.
Yeah, but we had to up front because we weren't meeting that minimum debt coverage.
If we get the loan right away.
Yeah. Correct.
Right.
But even with where we're at right now is kind of, I mean, I can't remember. We do go up a little bit in the last couple years, but we had to increase it so we can reach that minimum level.
Okay, so Mike, I think my point is that leaving the first two at the level they're at, but raising the last three.
Yeah.
So we were at 115%, 60-40-5-5-5.
Right.
I'm trying to smooth it out a little bit. Yeah, so that's where we were.
Yeah, it was 60-45. Mm-hmm. So,
mean.
But to cut it down, yeah, to cut it down the overall percentage.
It is. Then why not? I mean, at least raise the fives to 10 or something like
yeah.
that. I mean,
yeah.
So
it'd be easier to swallow.
I mean, for us,
yeah.
that's, you know, that is to be able to, you know, tie these things that it's hard to say we're not putting money away for those things. You're increasing the rates like that, not putting money away. But if we can show the reserve building and saying that's what they're going toward, that's ideal.
I mean, that would be, if the last three were 10, that would put us at 91% increase total over 5 years, rather than 65, what you got it at now.
And you're in water?
Yeah, I'm just in water.
Jeremy, I don't know if you're still.
No, I'm still here.
Are you hearing the discussion? I was just surprised.
Yes.
Have this discussion. I don't know why. We always so focused on getting things down that I didn't, you know, I didn't run that scenario in my head to start developing that reserve where both of the graphs are going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, so from a rate setting perspective, right, the rate tables on both water and sewer are setting your maximum rates for any given year. And so it is the discretion of the board to adopt anything up to those maximums, right? Say year three through five. So you can set, you know, years three through five at a maximum 10% increase. And it Prop 218 just says you cannot go above the amounts that are noticed, right, in the rate table. So the board could adopt something below that 10%, say a 5%, you know, a number below that any given year. So that is really the discretion of the board. And as Pete said, that would really just be to start building back up the reserves, right, in order to start handling the percentage of the CIP that is not anticipated to be funded given the current rates that are proposed today.
The sewer rate's at 62% with this proposed, and it was at 100% with the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I want to be able to see the building stay up and the,
yeah, so if we
you
can,
know, all that kind of, all the maintenance that we're cutting out, get back up in there again.
If we keep pushing it down the line, it's going to cost more and more and more.
Right, right.
And it's going to actually make, you know,
make the next time worse.
Worse. And that's why we're in this predicament right now, is because they pushed it all the way down. I like the idea
yeah.
of increasing those last 3 years because of the fact that we need to start putting money away for the
mm-hmm.
infrastructure, for everything that we need to do.
Yeah.
I agree. So if that was 10, 10, 10, Jeremy, what would those, what would the graphs look like in on the reserve side in both the water and wastewater? I hate to make you do things on the fly.
No, that's fine. On the water side, you would be at 3.4 million in reserve by the end of the 5 year period. And let me do the sewer here for you. Just give me a minute.
that if we didn't increase the CIP percent, but put that directly into reserves and held it for what became priorities out of that remaining.
What do you guys think of that?
It's a good idea. I agree. As long as it's justifiable. I mean,
yeah, that's the trick is, I won't say trick, but we have to be able to justify that to the people who are
sure,
going to
sure.
I mean, we've had this, you know, there's no getting around the huge increases up front because we're already seriously underwater. But there's still, you know, and that when I was asking to have this stuff smoothed out, it was not so much
cut off
that I wanted to, you know, it could smooth some more of it out into the later years,
right?
Because we, you know, that because given how long it took us to get around to doing this again, we're certainly not going to be doing another one in less than 5 years. If we're lucky, we might do one in 5 years.
We have it in the budget to actually do it
4 years to get that here.
Yeah, well, that'll be fine. But you know, in the interim, you know, this is a time where we can build a little bit of inflation resistance into the tail years of the budget now.
No,
and it doesn't, and it doesn't, and it doesn't look too terrible compared to the front end.
It's a
from a percent
relatively
from a presentation change. Standpoint.
Right, yeah.
The only, yeah, the only thing though, yes, we have the debt charges coming on into. So I think that's why we're just.
Yeah, but the other ones are falling off. I mean, the debt actually doesn't change that much. The debt service doesn't change that much.
On the sewer side, Pete, that would get you to about 2 million in reserves by the end of the 5 year period if you increase the years 3 through 5 to the 10% adjustment.
Yeah, I think that's a good recommendation. I'm looking across the table. I'm sorry we didn't. I just, you know, I think we're focusing on the overall impact and thinking about the, you know, thinking about getting ready to have conversations with customers that aren't really going to understand any of it, you know, and just trying to deal with that. But it's much easier to say, I guarantee you they're not going to care between 7 and 10%.
They're gonna puke about the first couple of years, but
I
agree with that.
And then ideally if it just stays 10 and 10 and 10 and 10 and 10.
Well, no, we'll do another one in 5 years.
Well, I know, but that's what
but then the next big one shouldn't be so gigantic.
Exactly, right.
That's
what I meant by if we just
can adjust pushing down the road, it's going to get worse and worse. Snowball on us, and next thing you know, we're back to where we were a few years back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or we're
and we fire department. Leveraged a lot of money, and we've really done a lot of good things so far. And we definitely want to keep that momentum. It's not going to be as dramatic, I don't think, you know, because there's just not as much state and federal dollars out there. But every decision we make with this money is getting well thought out. So that was it. Are we at the?
Do we need to literally take an actual official vote?
I think we need to ask for public comment. I'm not seeing anyone. We might have somebody that's among the group that wants to provide public comment.
We still need to decide a fixed versus variable for the sewer, and we also need to establish a public hearing for June. Right. So there's still some more discussion.
But as far as rate increase levels, I think
we do need a vote.
And if we're okay on, well, with water specifically, the weights on variable and fixed, and then deciding what we want to do on the sewer.
So under the recommended action, it is approving a resolution to accept the water rate schedule. So if you guys want to change that percentage, you would note that. And then selecting an option, one or two on the sewer. And then filling in the blank on the public hearing date for June.
Can I make a motion?
We still have to.
So if we can just maybe talk about public hearing for a second. We had spoken with Jeremy and
We have dates of June 18th or the 23rd right now that he will be available, and then also the commute will be in town.
I will be out of town on the 23rd. We're talking June, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
What's the 18th look like for everybody?
18th is okay.
I'm good.
I have something at 11, but I can maybe change it to a new day.
It's going to be most likely an evening.
Oh, that's right. That's
one. Fine. I have something at 11 too, so.
I was wondering what that was. That's your calendar that's sitting behind mine.
Yes.
Okay. June 18th.
Yeah, so if June 18th works for everybody, then that's what it's in June
18th. Okay.
Looks good to me.
Good.
And then we're going to say the water rate schedule option with those changes of the last 3 years.
So which
yeah,
time?
So you'll just add that. Whoever makes the motion, we'll just add that. And then if we get everybody.
So what time on June 18th?
It'll be like 5:30.
Jeremy, did you have any?
Open your show, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Recommendations for the time?
Yeah, I mean 5:30. What you know, whatever works for you guys. I'll be there all day. So.
I would say, in terms of community engagement, if you want more people there, a 5:30 start gives a little bit more time for people to come in and log on, or you know, get a dinner and be able to show up.
5:30.
That's good. Cool. Best meeting of our lives.
Yeah, and we will have it being held over at the resort.
Let me just double check the date.
Check their calendar.
Hey, just send me one of those. We're going to have a meeting things, you know?
Yeah, the link for you.
Yeah.
I think that was the date we proposed last week, and I thought did you check the Resilience Center for that date? Last
for time? June? I booked the Resilience Center for the May 15th workshop meeting. So that's booked.
This is specifically for the vote and for the public to come protest. And then the other two were just
informational.
Information.
So
you don't think you're going to protest?
No.
Yeah, great.
Certainly
never.
We'll have a little running pool on the number of the protests.
Okay, so.
So the other thing is let's do the easy one, the fixed versus variable percentage.
That's
on the water rates. Well, are we good with how we have it proposed?
The 55-45?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very comfortable with that. Then the other thing is the sewer consumption versus all fixed rate.
So my just right, if we are going to go towards a fixed rate, I would definitely highly recommend that if it is possible that we can move it over to the Tuolumne County taxes, because I feel like that would be easier and easier for us. So that's just for consideration, if we're going to go that way. And I don't, so we did have this conversation internally, but well, how does that look? So if we are just going to do that, we don't get our money except twice a year. So there's a huge, you know, how do we have that smoothing transition for operating expense? And then I also, you know, I think if we were going to go that way, and since we don't have the answer yet, I don't know, we could also essentially adopt, I'm assuming, a hybrid of these two, or like the first year or so, we have to do a variable, but in year two, it's going to go to a fixed. It's just like, you know, just to, if we are, for us to be able to make that transition over.
Yeah, I don't know within the confines of Prop 218. We can't charge more than the schedule. So does that mean, would that wind up being more? Or would it be, you know, that's, it depends on the customer, I would say, whether it winds up being more. We're just trying to see if there was any flexibility to start off at that, you know, having the variable rate and sewer and then transition in year three or year two to all fixed.
You would have to go through a new Prop 218 process, Pete. in order to change the rate structure itself.
I would also just say, Pete, from a like a public perception standpoint, a lot of that shifting might make people a little uncomfortable as well. People don't like change.
Yeah,
Or from that standpoint, they might think, yeah, we're trying to hide something
yeah.
by scooching it over there. I mean, it's kind of a good point.
You mean moving it to the county to be collected on taxes?
Although,
Yeah, right. Michelle, were you talking about the fixed versus variable?
I was just saying the switch the transition where if you had to go through another 218 process and do it again, and then re-educate kind of people on a new system, that is where people start getting a little uncomfortable if like they've figured out one way how their rate is going to look, and then in a couple of years it looks different. I mean, obviously there can be a transition, and that's we can definitely communicate that. It's just how many transitions do you want to communicate is definitely something to think about.
This would be I'm just saying from the other than we're saying it's on like, the tax rates. In addition, like we said, industry standard that tends to be that way. It also will reduce cost for us internally, not having it all reduce like the billing costs, because it's essentially like we do the means, we just put a file together, it'll be this times this, here it is. Very, very, very easy.
I think we're really talking about like two different things here. The, nobody's, you know, I think we're all fine with putting on the tax rolls.
Oh, I didn't know if we were had agreed to
But
that
what I think
yeah.
Janice was asking was whether we could change from the fixed and variable rate methodology to all fixed at some point. And it sounds like no, the answer is we
Yes.
can't.
Yeah,
We have to do
I got
another
that.
Prop 218.
I asked that
That's what I thought
question.
you were asking.
Jennifer
It was
asked.
my question.
Yeah.
Oh, what were you asking?
Nothing. She did
You
it.
too overwhelming. That's because she's going to be sitting over there.
Exactly. Sorry.
We've
got
too many changes here today.
Okay.
So yes, I know that that was the answer, but I know we're just still going back on between fixed and variable, or just all fixed. And so these are the other considerations, and if we're going to make that decision, just internally, administration-wise, what that also would look like, rather than just.
Oh,
I
yes, because
would
if we go to all
need
fixed, then we could put it on the tax rolls, whereas, or on the tax bill,
Correct.
whereas the other way we can't.
And it eliminates a lot of internal processes for
Well,
us if we do that.
painful as it is, I'm still in favor of, I mean, every sewer system in the world does a fixed rate, except us, as far as we know.
I mean, yeah, every
What's
place
the
I've ever
benefit
lived.
to the customer to have a fixed rate? None.
You know what it's going to be, regardless.
I don't know because it's been so long since I had a
Yeah.
sewer bill.
If
Yeah,
they
it's just a thing.
have a leak, they're you know, if they're on the sewer and they have a water leak, it's presumed that it goes down the sewer and they pay for it. If they're on they don't have to go through the process of applying for when you're averaging if they're going to have a lot of landscape irrigation or something, because if they don't apply for the winter averaging, then they pay for all of the water that goes through their meter as if it went down the sewer. So
That's
they would
Yeah, for
take
people with
that.
landscaping, we'll sort of like it. I mean, at least it relieves them of one issue that they have to confront.
And it relieves us in
And really,
terms
it is, I mean, it's the way. I mean, there's a rationale for having volume adjustment, but it would be more of a rationale if we actually were metering the outflow of each of the people's sewers so that we'd be billing them correctly. I mean, now it's kind of, you know, it's a proxy, and it is, I don't know, a lot simpler if you just pay a fixed fee in this.
And like Jim said, it's an easier sell too because that is what most places
Everybody
do.
knows what it is. That's the way it works every place else.
And we've received that complaint a lot where people say, well, how do you know? And we have to say, well, the methodology is what goes in, goes out, you know. And I mean, just a lot of people that argue the other thing.
It's okay with the human
I'm not,
body.
You know, everybody's not even, but proportionate as you can get by resident.
Yeah, it's going to be a big hit for folks, but for some folks, the people that don't use a lot of water, part timers that maybe actually don't rent their houses out, you know, it's going to be a 50% increase for them.
So why would we do a fixed and then variable down the line, like you suggested?
No, I was saying the variable was just for, because we haven't got an answer from the county of how we actually transition over. So my question was, could we adopt a hybrid through this, where the customer, you know, we're going through this process where we're starting with this until we can actually transition until,
right.
But we can't.
Like starting in year two or something. But
but we can't.
Yeah. We'd have to go through the process again.
One or another.
Whoever brought it up, it's still we can't.
Exactly.
Whichever
okay,
side.
So it sounds like fixed rates, what we.
The side of the room.
So it sounds like fixed rates, what we prefer.
Oh, we'll have to go forward, but is everybody okay with that?
I'm fine with that.
Okay, in that case, I will make a motion.
Okay.
To adopt resolution 10-2025 to accept the recommended water schedule and the recommended water schedule with the provision that in years 3, 4, and 5, we want it to be adjusted so that we end up with a 10%. Increase in each of those years. And option 2 of the sewer rate schedule for the period of July 1st, 2025 to June 30th, 2030, establishing a public hearing for June 18th. Is that right?
Yes.
5:30. Didn't actually, it proposes June 18th. And authorizing the general manager and mail the notice of public hearing.
Did you include the 10% also on the sewer?
We're going to send them out together.
I know you got it for water.
We do on this. I wasn't even looking at the sewer that much because it goes up so high. Where is the? So what is? So right now that's back down to 10.
It's 7.5.
I'd like to modify my motion to include adjusting the sewer rates such that they go up by 10% in each of years 3 to 5.
We second.
We'll second.
Missed that. Thank you.
Do we have any public comment on the confusing motion?
Sure, we will.
Not currently, huh? Not
I don't have any.
Anybody else in house?
Who was seconding that? Was it Janice or?
I put John.
We both did it together.
John.
Together.
I heard John first.
I just want to say these are, you know, these decisions don't, luckily, they don't come very often. And, you know, these are the most important things that you do.
It's not been easy to turn up nothing you really want to do, but we'll have to do it.
Well, we've turned
yeah,
everything.
Just face it.
You got to do it.
Okay, I'm not going to reread the whole motion because, you know, what's
what he said.
It's what he said. So, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Was made by Director Swan, seconded by Director Armstrong. Who I am. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed, say nay. We are
okay. Now our course is charted, I would say. Will we be transitioning from more Jeremy to less Jeremy and more Michelle for the next 45?
Yes.
So.
Most definitely. And just so you know, I did send over the website and the Facebook group and the postcard. So feel free to look over that. We will update the website with all the information that just kind of got done today. And that's really exciting. I know there's a lot of updates. So Yeah, it's exciting to be moving forward and to be able to tell your community your decisions.
Appreciate that. We're happy on this end to have it moving too.
Appreciate the time, everyone, this morning, and appreciate working with you, Pete and Michelle, particularly over the course of the study. So thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Thanks.
My tablet is
bye.
I can't even find my 6B, so I just read it on here.
Look at mine.
No, I mean, I've got that, but like everything confirmed, the actual write-up. Okay, 6B is consideration of an extension of the license and cost reimbursement agreement between the district and Tuolumne County for funding an additional fire apparatus and associated staffing co-located with the Groveland Community Service District Fire Department from April 1, 2025 through March 31, 2026.
Wow, we have a lot of things on the agenda.
It's just three things, but big things.
I have to leave it though.
Okay, I'm gonna go just as quickly as I possibly can go. My brain is in freeze mode right now, just for this short period of time. Okay, we have had meetings with the county. And you know, since we have gotten involved and pushed really hard to have the county increase its presence in the South County, and they have moved in the engine into our station, that has worked out really well in terms of our response, the level of response, the effective response, the time of response. The number of times we've had to go outside of the district boundaries, it's accomplished all of the things we wanted to accomplish. The dilemma was the agreement expired. We made an attempt to modify the agreement with the county for a longer term commitment and some other changes to it, that to the agreement, to address some of the issues. Because if it's a year-to-year agreement, we have no guarantee that that engine is going to be there. If they're approving a lodging unit or a yoga camp or any of those kind of things outside the district boundaries, they're not approving it for 1 year. They're approving it for as long as it can sustain itself. So those things don't match up. You know, a perpetual commitment to a yoga camp and 1 year commitment to GCSD. So in proposing a revised agreement, there was changes in management at the county, there's changes in supervisors now, there's a lot of things in uproar. They had requested that we continue to work toward that longer term modified agreement and set that over here and, you know, and continue to work through that. And this is a meeting that Jennifer and I had with two new supervisors, the interim county administrator, the deputy county administrator, and the fire chief, county fire chief, and Nancy. Sorry, not that I meant to leave you out.
I did.
We sat in a nice closed room and had what I thought was a good conversation. I felt like there was good understanding of the concerns and there was support to move forward with a long-term agreement. They couldn't guarantee an outcome. You've got a board of supervisors that is pretty unpredictable right now. But one thing that they felt confident with is that we do need to update our agreement currently. We need to update it through the end of the term when their funding runs out, which would be about a year from now, a little bit less. Funding runs out on the grant. And within that time period, within that year, we would hope that we could come to an agreement on a longer term agreement. And they also are in the process of preparing a joint resolution, a resolution of our board. And this wasn't part of the meeting, but it was kind of discussed, but we're actually moving it now where there'll be a joint resolution that the district adopts and the county adopts that makes a commitment to the future of the increased services by the county in some form or fashion in the South County. So we're accomplishing getting us out of opposing every project if we can get them. The first step is the update of this agreement. And it's basically the same agreement that we had last year, except the dates are extended. But we do have legal counsel looking at it. I don't expect there to be any changes because we're not renegotiating the agreement, it's just extending it. The only disadvantage is sometimes the county has more people in the station than we do. And they use more power and water, and we're still paying 50% of the cost. So that's the only glaring inequity right now. But it's not huge. We haven't built that yet. We haven't talked about it. They're going to come unglued about it, but I want to get the agreement done first, you know, the extension done. And we can build them under the agreement. We can. It's just that they really wanted more time in advance to know that these things were happening and to jump up and down and to stomp their feet and wonder why it cost so much money and then pay it anyway. So we'll just need to kind of massage it into a, they will pay. They will, the goal is for them to pay their proportional.
I thought we had that language in there.
In the revised.
That's the revised, the proportional. Okay.
So my question is, does the county understand that it is not our legal obligation to provide adequate fire protection up there, and it's theirs? Do they understand that? I mean, because that is, to me, beyond the pale, that you're just shirking your responsibility out there and say, oh, Groveland's going to take care of it. And if they don't, we're going to take away this and this and that. Well, when it comes down to it, I think in the court of law, we would win. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it is their legal responsibility, not ours.
Yeah, because you're paying them.
Yeah. And for them to be this way is just disgusting.
Well, this right now, John, they're actually headed in a good direction. I can't guarantee that we're going to get the all they need is one, according to the discussion we had, all they need is one more supervisor.
Yeah.
I can pretty much count two no's on revived even on this agreement.
Yeah,
of course.
But they may go forward and they are, you know, if we move forward with this right now, and then consider a joint resolution that makes a commitment, it's probably the best thing that we're going to get from them. It's district management is going to have to stay after them to make sure that they make progress on that.
Really, a joint resolution is all you can get out of them. I mean, they can make a contract. Okay, and then they can't break a contract, but this isn't a contract. They're not contracting us to provide a service or anything of that nature. This is just an agreement. And unfortunately, that is, you know, legally speaking, that's one board to the next. It's just like one Congress to the next or one president to the next. Things change, you know, when things change.
So we would have to say, okay, we are not providing service out there.
Yeah, which we put ourselves.
You guys are on your own, and then you would have to do.
They're acutely aware of the district's position that if they're going to continue doing these development projects, we are going to fight them the entire way until they commit to a long-term solution and presence of emergency services and fire protection services in this area. They're acutely aware of that. I will say from our meeting, the efforts that the district has done over the years with staying on top of the community development and all of the notices and planning stuff that we continue to send back and continue to protest, we're a thorn in their side. And that was made very clear that we're a thorn in their side. And they want this development to continue. And they know that in order for this development to continue, that this has to be resolved one way or another, because GCSD is not going anywhere and we're not changing our stance on it. So I will say there was, like, I feel like that's been established now at the county level. And they understand it. They understand that it's an impact to our services. It's not this, we just want a free ride thing. I think there's just been a lot of misinformation, misunderstanding between the transition, you know, of the new people coming in and the county and stuff like that. But I will say what we've been doing has been very effective. It's been very tedious.
It's super painful. Uh-huh. I mean, I feel like when I walk into the room, it's like, oh, God, you know, but it's rewarding. And this meeting felt, you know, because these are the two newest members on the Board of Supervisors, and I didn't think we saw eye to eye at all. But coming out of the meeting, they had a better understanding than I thought. They just, you know, they're getting their feet wet in just a mucky situation with the county. Mm-hmm. You know, they've just let the finances fall apart there.
Oh, yeah, and they're an idiot.
You know, we're still going to, even we approve this today, we get a joint resolution, we're going to have, you know, you're going to have to set that in perpetuity in your management objectives.
Moving me closer to the door.
One little, and I can't remember how or why it came up at the meeting, but the fire chief that was there had commented that, you know, there was somebody talking about, oh, like, they're going to just take away, close out down the fire department. And he had said, he goes, well, I'll just give you my personal opinion here. He said, if anybody comes to me and says, and, you know, granted, it wasn't like Andy, mm-hmm. who is one of ours. He said, if anybody comes to me and says, you know, like, you know, we need to close down a fire department, it wouldn't be Groveland. It would be Twain Hart or Tuolumne or this or that or whatever. He goes, the last choice or the last recommendation would be, it would never be Groveland.
Well, it was actually Cache, and he's above Andy.
Yeah, he's a UFC. Well, I mean, we're not somebody who's at our meetings,
Because north of the river, then you have other
options.
And mutual aid actually works a little better because things are, there is
which
mutual aid.
Nice to hear the words.
It's been the opposite. They were saying Groveland was going to be one of the first that would get cut if the, and this was, well, and that's not necessary. This is just coming from the Cal Fire Chief, but the Cal Fire Chief said Groveland would be the last one that it would be recommended to be.
Well, I asked Andy, well, you've got this stipulation that we have to respond up there, but what about the stipulation that the county has to provide adequate fire protection here? You know, so I don't know. I talked to Steve Griefer. We went round and round and round for a while, and I kept telling him, it's your responsibility to be here.
You know, John, your conversation helped. I'm just telling you, even though, you know, you may not have saw eye to eye when we got into the meeting where he was in a room with a bunch of others, and there was a universal understanding, and I think it was the best I've felt about the relationship. So every little piece that we've had, every little, you know,
yeah,
I think we're in a good place to go forward.
He told me, well, Naya Kirk would like to just get rid of you guys.
Yep.
What? Well, Naya Kirk would like to get rid of the entire county.
He
hasn't learned yet that Naya Kirk
did. That's why we're inviting these folks one by one to our chapter meetings, a CFA chapter meeting, so they can get to know the people behind the districts, you know. We have a common goal. We're taking work away from them. We're making their life easier by existing.
What time is it since?
I sent you an email yesterday.
My emails aren't working.
Okay, right.
So I checked on my calendar.
Are we ready?
Yeah, I'd like to see a vote.
So we are going to take a vote on consideration of an extension and licensing. Well, we've already went through all of them.
Is it 1 o'clock?
There is no.
Oh, is this this one?
There's
is
no
it's a, yeah. See, I don't have my sheet that tells me that. Okay, so we're beyond that.
Sure.
That's kind of why I said it's like, wait a minute.
Well, at the time, I didn't have the agreement in my possession with legal review, and I mean, I just got it right before this agenda came out. I have it now. They've actually sent it to me. Their system sends it out for signature, so they're looking for my signature on it. I don't know that I have that's not on the agenda for the board to take action, but if extension of an agreement is allowed under our policies without any change in terms and conditions, I'm gonna look into that, whether you know, whether we need a a separate additional meeting. I don't want to wait another month. So, but it sounds like we're not going to. We have unanimous support so long as if we have to take action, we can have a special meeting and get it done.
And they provide direction for you to do that, and then we can ratify it on the next consent calendar.
If I
can certainly provide direction.
Yeah. Enter into the agreement and then bring it back for ratification at the next meeting. So at least allowing you to sign.
Any luck at the county with the taxation?
We'll have to get back to that one because I don't have a county administrator to deal with there.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like much has happened.
Is there anything else we can do with it?
We could formally say that the board is giving direction to proceed with the.
The extension agreement, it's really it's procedural. We're not committing to anything different than we're already doing.
So I move to.
You can't do an action. No action.
Okay. We will just put in the minutes then that.
Our direction is to facilitate extension of the agreement.
I'll second that
agreement. That's okay. But we'll just have it as consensus of the board to extend the agreement.
Consensus. That's good.
And then we will have it on the agenda at the next meeting in the consent agenda for ratification.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, last item.
Oh, this one will be 2 seconds, but I don't like this. Okay, last item. Item 6C, adoption of a resolution amending the employee handbook, section 203, employment reference checks. Making background checks required for potential employees and volunteers.
Okay, so back almost a year ago, the board authorized us to go through this process to submit an application to the Department of Justice to allow us to perform actual live scan background checks, which requires you to get fingerprints and then you go into the FBI and the California Department of Justice system. And so it took definitely over 6 months for us to get approved, and that's been all. It's good. We've been approved. So with that, we don't have anything formal in our handbook right now. It says we may conduct background checks. We have never really done so. So now that everything's in place, we'd like to change and update the policy in the handbook that says that we will conduct background checks. In addition, we've added language to allow us to be able to reimburse the cost for those background checks for potential new hires and volunteers. And then the second part is also that volunteers are subject to this policy as well. So all of our CERT members specifically, and we will be gradually putting all of the existing CERT members through this process because they're volunteers and like I said, this is for public safety.
It's a FEMA requirement, I believe, for the CERT program.
Oh, I don't even know that.
I move to adopt Resolution 11-2025, amending the Employee Handbook, Section 203, Employment Reference Checks, making background checks required for potential employees and volunteers.
Second that motion.
Any public comment? Anybody on?
I don't have any public.
Mr., any public comment from you?
Already know.
Janice,
did you say that? Yes. You want to add anything to your report since we kind of just left it open for you?
You guys have any questions on it?
Okay, so motion was made by Director Armstrong, second by Director Kwiatkowski. On item 6C, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay?
Yeah, you've done it.
All right.
We are officially through.
What were you going to say, Janice?
Okay.
Oh, you would ask Louie if he wanted to make an email or something.
Yeah.
Didn't look like he was ready to talk.
We
were adjourned.
That one going on.
Good. Yeah.